Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's time to do a bit of this.
Big and bad. We have to go back in time.
Sorry, I love that so much. It's almost too exciting. So you'll know by now that around this time, we do our thing called Back in Time. Every single week, take a random year and remind ourselves of the big showbiz, sport and news stories that emerged during those 12 months. And now I'm joined by 2FM's very own time bandit, Cormac Battle. Cormac, what are we looking at this
week? We are
looking
at the year. We're looking at 2009.
Yes.
And as I've said to Jen before, you will be surprised at how much you've forgotten about the big
definitely.
Events that happened in 2009.
Yeah.
I'll start with a very, very big one. Kind of an obvious starter, really.
Yeah.
The first African-American was elected to the White House as the 44th president. And his name is, of course,
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama was elected for his first term. How old do you think he was? Have a guess. Considering Joe Biden is now 80. He's 80
Joe Biden's
years old.
1,000 yeah. years old.
Yeah.
I think Obama was in his 40s. Was he mid-40s?
You're very close. Go on, take a punt at the actual age.
47.
Yes! Well done, you! Yes! 47, yeah. He was only 47. So
Unreal.
He took over for two terms before you thought the world had become a completely yeah. positive place. Then Donald Trump took over
yes.
after him.
Yeah, well, we had to have karma, didn't we?
Totally, yin and yang. But it was, you know, we all know about Barack Obama. I'm not going to get into his politics or anything like that in here, but it was a widely held view that he was the coolest president that ever
yeah.
was and, you know, probably ever will be for some time.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So instead of giving you a clip of, you know, one of his amazing speeches or whatever, he liked to make a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
And reference stuff that would connect with young America. So have a listen to this one. This is a joke that really connects.
So some things are beyond my control. For example, this whole controversy about Jay-Z going to Cuba. It's unbelievable. I've got 99 problems and now Jay-Z's one.
Hey! That's
oh my
all
God.
Right, isn't it?
I'm just heart eyes. I'm like the heart eyes emoji every time I hear him talk. I'm just like, yes.
But if you look out,
I love you.
If you look out at the audience, they haven't a clue
no,
what he's talking
exactly.
about.
The
not
wrong
a,
demo.
Not a breeze.
Yeah.
But you can see, you know, why he was elected. He was so fresh and he was just so...
And change, wasn't
yeah,
it? Like, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we can, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then it became, no, we can't.
No, definitely can't. Shouldn't have asked.
Speaking of no, we can't, the biggest scandal, I would say, of that year involved Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
If you remember, in November of 2009, a magazine published a story claiming that Tiger had had an extramarital affair with a New York City nightclub manager.
I can't believe this is only 2009.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like this has been in the ether for like 1,000 years. But
no.
Actually, 2009, I can't believe it's that recent.
It's amazing what time can do
yeah.
to make you forget things and kind of bring on a level of quote unquote forgiveness. But anyway,
yeah.
I'm not sure his wife forgave him, but no, she didn't actually.
No.
2 days later, after this affair was revealed,
yeah.
Around 2:30 in the morning, Tiger was driving from his Florida mansion in his Cadillac, his big SUV thing, and he collided with a fire hydrant. I think he was actually reversing out of his driveway.
Yeah.
He smashed into a tree. Several hedges were damaged.
Yes.
According to the report.
Shrubs like
shrubs,
in newsy bits this morning.
Lots of
yeah.
shrubs were damaged. and his wife, Ellen, smashed the windows of his golf with a golf club.
That
of
was
the SUV.
What I remembered. That's
but
the
at
thing
the
I
time,
remember.
At the time, it was said that she was smashing the windows because she wanted to get him out of there in case the car went on fire and
oh,
it was a safety
okay,
thing.
But, okay.
But retrospectively, we found out that she was smashing the windows because she was so angry
she
with
was
him
raging.
For having so many affairs.
Well, that's completely fair, I would have thought.
Well, absolutely.
Windows.
But over the next few days after this incident, more than a dozen women claimed in various media outlets to have had affairs with Tiger. A dozen. And that's the ones that we knew about at the time. So here's a clip of one of many of his grovelling apologies to his family and friends over the whole thing.
I want to say to each of you, simply and directly, I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in. People want to know how I could have done these things to my wife, Elin, and to my children. As Elin pointed out to me, my real apology to her will not come in the form of words. It will come from my behavior over time. I am also aware of the pain my behavior has caused to those of you in this room. I have let you down, and I have let down my fans.
That's saccharine, is it? Like,
yeah, well, it was well
rehearsed. Did it feel sincere to you?
I don't know. Like, I was watching it as well, and did it feel sincere? You know, he was giving it the body language as well. Either he was highly trained or it was real. I don't know. But, like, they ended up getting divorced a number of years later. But one of the big ramifications of this scandal that people don't really think about or talk about is the economic impact. Like, he was, you know, associated with so many big brands.
Yeah.
Huge brands. Uh-huh. And when this all unfurled, it was estimated that the shareholder loss caused by Tiger's affairs to the companies that he was endorsing cost 5 to 12 billion.
Oh my God.
The amount that was lost by shares, just by his affairs.
Billion.
5 and 12 billion for him, you know,
That's
having
insane.
A bit of playing offside.
Literally.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
Billion. I'll never get over that.
Yeah. And,
that's insane.
But anyway, did she forgive him? Not really sure if she did, because after 6 years of marriage, Woods and Elin divorced.
Done and dusted.
In
fairness.
He got back in the game fairly quick, though.
He did. Feeling good. I remember there was a really weird ad where I think his father had passed away, and it was kind of like him speaking to his deceased father about how disappointed the father was in him. I think it was like a Nike ad or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But it was like all this sort of performative, I'm so sorry, you know, for what I've done. And all the around that time, it was just the weirdest ad I've ever
Turning
seen.
Turning an apology to a dead person into an ad.
Into a business opportunity, wow. Basically. Yeah,
it's amazing
wild.
What people do. Yeah, and look, you know, very soon afterwards, he said, well, he kind of gave the impression of never playing golf ever again.
Yeah.
I think he was in the US Masters the year after.
That's right.
And he's had a number of relationships ever since then. So it's all good in the Tigerhood.
It sure is. It always is. This next one is absolutely insane because I remembered this so well at the time, and they've made a film about it since, obviously, The Miracle on the Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. It was called The Miracle on the Hudson, and I'm big into planes and all that, so this is definitely going to make it. And so if Carl Mullen is listening, he'll love this one too. But on January the 15th, US Airways flight took off from LaGuardia Airport in New York City. Normal. Shortly after takeoff, it hit a giant flock of geese and lost all the power to all of its engines.
Yeah.
And they were too low to reach an airport for an emergency landing, so the pilots glided the plane to a ditching in the Hudson River just off Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get to an airport because they were just too low.
And everybody survived.
155 people were on that plane and they all survived.
It was very cold, wasn't it? Like, it was absolutely freezing.
It was freezing.
Yeah.
Because it happened in January.
Yeah, yeah.
But everybody survived. Loads of boats came along, took everybody off. Like, if you're going to be in a plane crash, this is the one you wanted to be
100%.
In. 100%. And the pilot who was, of course, as you said, played, the film was called Sully.
Yeah.
That was his nickname. And after of course, he was played by Tom Hanks.
Of course.
He had to be played by Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks always has to play people, like whether it's Captain Phillips or the Apollo 13 guys.
Yeah,
or
someone heroic.
Someone who's having trouble with machinery of some sort.
Yeah, like, and he'll bring it down to safety.
He will, yeah, exactly.
But this is a brilliant clip of a chap called Casey Jones who was on the flight at the time, and this is him talking about trying to make, you know, that last phone call before impact to his family who happened to be on another plane.
Oh my God.
I was trying to get my password in. My wife and son, who was 8 at the time, were on another plane at the exact same time. And I wanted to call them and leave the I love you message because I didn't know how this was going to end up. So I pulled out my phone and my hands were shaking too bad and I had a password on the phone and I couldn't get the password in. So I just put the phone back in my pocket. And at that point, I just could only hope that they knew how much I loved him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, his hands were shaking. He couldn't get his phone to work or anything like that.
Oh.
It's just the worst, isn't it? But anyway, it was fine.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was the best possible ending there could have been. And you get a Tom Hanks film out of it.
You get a Tom Hanks film out, and the upside of it, each passenger later received a letter of apology and $5,000 in compensation for lost baggage. Lost baggage. Yeah, $5,000.
That's
unreal. I wish I were on that plane.
Honest to God, like realistically, that's the best you can hope for, really, in a situation like that, isn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. What a win!
What a win! So let's talk about from plane crashes and news and everything to showbiz. Let's talk about showbiz
from
2009.
Seismic events that happened in showbiz that year, and a very shocking and unexpected event. Happened when Boyzone's Stephen Gately died at his home in Mallorca early on October the 10th in 2009.
Yeah.
His body was discovered later that morning, and his death was later determined to have been caused by a pulmonary edema resulting from an undiagnosed heart condition.
God.
So that was a very big shocker, and thousands of fans, as you can imagine, celebs and politicians were in attendance at his funeral. Fans had travelled from all over the world to be at it. But I found this clip of him talking to Lorraine Kelly. He's on his own here, and you know, he's out without the Boyzone gang. And you can just tell he was a really nice fella.
Yeah.
When I do have time off, I use the time just to really relax and do my meditation, go for a walk with the dogs, go get my shopping,
go
get my bike, do energetic and normal things just to relax. And
can you toddle about and nobody bothers you, or are people generally quite okay?
Yeah, people are fine. I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody's come to ask for an autograph and if it makes somebody smile or somebody happy, then it's not a problem, as long as they're not rude.
Then poor El Steo.
Yeah.
Because, like, even when Ronan Keating talks about it and some of the other lads talk about it, even now they get very emotional about it. Like, you know, and it's what, 13 years later and stuff since he died? Because it was such a tragedy. Like, it really was such a tragedy at the time. He was so young, and they were, like, kind of... You never think that it's going to happen to somebody that age, but he was a lovely fella.
Yeah,
he seemed
to be a really good guy.
Absolutely,
yeah. Just a lad who liked his own privacy and didn't take it all too seriously.
The
as
quiet
far as
life. Yeah, exactly.
Another earthquake in the entertainment world went on, of course, when Michael Jackson died.
Oh, yes.
He died in June of 2009, unexpectedly at his home in Los Angeles. His doctor, Conrad Murray, who kind of became, you know, sort of a celeb famous doctor, said that he found Michael in his room, not breathing, with a weak pulse, and he administered CPR to no avail. He couldn't save him. But, which I didn't remember about the whole thing, was shockingly, it was concluded that Michael Jackson's death was a homicide.
Yeah,
afterwards.
That's right.
I forgot all about this. Because he'd been administered with a substance called propofol, an anti-anxiety medication called lorazepam, midazolam, by his doctor, maybe in high doses. And this is by Conrad Murray, his doctor that we just said. And after that, he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter and spent 2 years in prison.
I remember the trial.
His doctor.
Oh, yeah, I remember them report. I remember the reporting on the trial of Conrad Murray. And it was just, God, it was the wildest thing. And so, yeah, spent 2 years in jail, was it, in the end?
Yeah, and he was let out for good behaviour after 2 years in 2013. I just didn't know that at all. I'd forgotten it altogether.
It's mad. Like, it just gets wiped from your mind, some of these, like, it's
extraordinary that, that this happened to his doctor. But, they were two massive, massive, obviously, big stories for the showbiz world that year.
You were talking about whether Carl Mullen was listening earlier on. If Carl Mullen is listening to this, he is going to faint, because the biggest sporting event of 2009 was what?
Well, it's so apt for the day that France take on Morocco for a place for the final in the World Cup.
Yes.
Because in November of 2009, neither the Republic of Ireland or France had earned an automatic qualification to get through to the World Cup, which was taking place in South Africa in 2010. So France had found themselves in a playoff. I just need to say Thierry Henry. This is where we're going with this. So France found themselves in a playoff game against Ireland to even have a chance of qualifying. So just to set it up, France managed to win the first game because they had to play each other.
Yeah.
They won it 1-0, and that was in Ireland. And the return leg in Paris then, Irish are winning, beating France 1-0. So there was a good chance for Ireland, you know, to go through to the World Cup in South Africa in 2010. And that's when the Thierry Henry handball happened. Essentially what happened, Henry prevented the ball from going out for a goal kick. Mm-hmm. He'd handled the ball twice. Mm-hmm. We all probably remember this, to allow his teammate to score for France. Anyway, this goal then sent France through to the World Cup and sent Ireland back home. This will be painful for many people, but have a listen.
But there's the handball by Henry.
And by the way, not just once, George, but twice. It's actually hit him on the arm and then he's controlled it with his hand. Just watch it from this angle.
Yes.
And then he's knocked it back to Gallus and it's easy, but...
That's a handball, no question about it. Absolutely no question about it. And France have stolen the lead on aggregate.
Stolen is the key word there.
Absolutely fumed. Still.
It's mind-boggling when you watch it again now. Because like if there had been VAR, like there is now, like the goal would certainly have been disallowed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Henri, I'm not sure about football rules to that degree, he would have gotten a card. I don't know if he would have gotten a red card for that.
I couldn't tell you.
And would have been sent off for such a grave offence. But after that, it got fairly nasty for Thierry Henry for a while because he said in an interview that was like I had killed someone. He said the reaction to it was so bad.
Yeah.
He said the abuse that he got, he received letters and he got death threats. He said that his daughter had to go to school with a bodyguard for 2 weeks afterwards because he was scared because he was getting letters saying, we know where you live.
Yeah, that's grim.
That's pretty grim, isn't
it? Yeah, that's grim.
Again, something I didn't know about this whole... I knew that about him, his handball, but I didn't know about what happened to him afterwards.
One thing
that I've...
Yeah, really brutal. But the one thing that I've just remembered actually from that time is, do you remember Sepp Blatter laughing because Ireland had asked... whether we could be a 33rd nation in the World Cup. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Sepp Blatter. And I've just watched the FIFA documentary on Netflix as well, so I'm filled with rage about Sepp Blatter anyway, but that in particular. So, yes, it's true. They have asked to be the 33rd. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That would have been something else. Anyway, it was never to be.
It wasn't to be.
And that's what happened.
And sure, look, we'll keep trying, I guess.
Well, you know, go Morocco.
Yeah, come on, Morocco, you devils. Tell us about the big tune of 2009. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, just play the clip.
Okay. Can't read my, no, we can't read my poker face. She's got me like nobody. Can't read my, no, we can't read my poker face. She's got me like nobody.
I always thought you were singing Carrick Mines. a place in South County Dublin. But she
wasn't.
No. She was the new Madonna. That was the big hit for her that came out in... That sort of launched her onto the world stage in 2009.
Yeah, really did. Yeah.
She won loads of awards, Grammys, all that kind of stuff. I remember seeing her Oxygen afterwards. The Oxygen Festival took place at Punchestown. She was playing early on in the day and she came out. I was standing there in the field just watching her and I swear to God, I thought for a minute she was in the nip. Fully, 100%. In the nip, because she was wearing this see-through, nude colored thing.
So your brain had to catch up with your eyes.
Because of the kind of mythology around Lady Gaga at the time, I thought, she's in the nip. This is amazing. This is going to be the best gig ever. But I realised after a while then, you know, there was certain things you couldn't see. And
he's in the nip.
It all became sad after that.
I love that.
Did I even remember that, like at Oxygen, that she was...
No.
She was kind of in the nip.
I don't think I was only at Oxygen once and it wasn't a Lady Gaga year. Unfortunately. I can't remember. So if you do remember the Lady Gaga in the nip, let us know. 51552. Thank you so much, Cormac.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.